Finally today, every year, New York's Transit Authority, the MTA, holds auditions for subway musicians. It started in 1985, when the New York subway wasn't exactly a secure place to hang out with your hands on a violin and some money at your feet. But now the subways are safe, ridership is record high, and music under New York has never been more popular. Alina Simone checked out this year's auditions.
I've been a subway rider for most of my life, and it recently occurred to me that I would never be so intimately familiar with the erhu or the pan flute or the steel drum if it weren't for the time I spend underground. Musicians don't need a permit to perform legally in the subway, but getting accepted to Music Under New York gives you an official banner and a prime spot. It's not easy. This year, they received 230 applications for 25 slots, putting the acceptance rate in the range of an Ivy League school, all for what seems like a tough gig, introducing challenging, even exotic, music to a bunch of frazzled, distracted, and occasionally drunk passerby. So why do it? For the money? The random shot at fame? At Music Under New York's annual audition at Grand Central Station, I discover motivation runs much deeper and weirder. Not the greatest acoustics in Grand Central, I know. The first musician I buttonhole is Kane Mathis, a kora player from Brooklyn. Talk about challenging. The kora is a West African instrument with 22 strings, and Kane built his own. He made his first trip to the Gambia in 1996 after cold calling, well, cold letter writing, a family who had produced three generations of legendary kora players.
A month and a half later, I got a response saying, you can come. So I bought my ticket for the capital, got in a car, told them the name of the family, and then I showed up there.
That's insane.
It was a little bit, yeah.
I feel like Kane should be performing in the rotunda of a museum. So what's he doing auditioning for the subway?
My kind of stated mission around the kora has always been to perform. Originally, musicians had patrons, and so in this case, City of New York is our patron. You know, we have to offer our services.
We have to offer our services. Wow. Okay, I figure Kane has to be some kind of outlier in this bunch. But Sylvie Boisel, a singer from France who I speak to next, turns out to be just as mission-driven. When Sylvie takes the stage, it's kind of a Susan Boyle moment. She arrives out of breath because there was a fire on the subway that morning. I wouldn't want to be playing for that crowd. But as soon as she starts singing, you're suddenly walking down the Champs-Élysées with a hot baguette under your arm. So why is Sylvie auditioning to sing in the subway? It's not about fame or money. It's not even about Sylvie Boisel. It's about Edith Piaf.
When you listen to her, her voice reaches your heart. She was a singer of the people. It's for why I want to reach the people.
See, 2015 happens to be the 100th anniversary of Edith Piaf's birth.
I want to give a real homage to Edith Piaf, and I want that every people can listen to Edith Piaf without paying if they cannot pay.
Sylvie and Kane seem so enthusiastic about the prospect of introducing West African music and French songs of love and loss to the subway riding masses. But what happens once the bloom is off the rose and the subway sweat is on their arms? What's the reality? I recognize just the guy to answer that question. Giovanni Sequillo, an Ecuadorian guitarist who regularly plays at my local station. Eight years ago, he was up there on stage auditioning. Today, he's just helping out. Giovanni gives me the straight talk. On a good day in the subway, he makes $200. It also gets him a lot of bookings.
It's a good way to make connections directly for the gigs.
But the subway can be a tough place to bring Andean music to the masses. His advice? Be zen.
Have a neutral mind. Be relaxed and enjoy playing. If you're too happy sometimes, someone can insult you and you're going to be down. That's what I learned for me.
Thank you.
But don't tell that to Sylvie.
Well, I love New York City and I hope you will love me. Thank you.
Sometimes reality can wait. For the world, this is Alina Simone from New York. No.
Yeah, the real deal here, by the way, Edith Piaf, her own voice. From the Nan and Bill Harris studios at WGBH in Boston, I'm Marco Werman. Thank you for listening.